Good morning.
Good morning.
So it's my pleasure to be here today and to get to share with you a project that's very dear to me called Shifting the Lens. It is a case study, and in my remarks today I'm just going to set the stage a little bit, talk about the study, and then discuss some of the public health response and translation from research to action that we engaged in as part of the project overall. Just in terms of disclosures, I think Terry's already mentioned that the other presenter, do not have any relationships to disclose. And so in terms of setting the stage, I just wanted to start with adolescent stress. I think everyone here has been an adolescent, it looks like it, can relate somewhat to that period in life and to experiencing stress. This is a stereotypical view of an adolescent, but thinking about emotions as a major part of the adolescent experience, as well as some of these other aspects that are listed here, and for accessibility issues, I'll read them out: sleep, music, sex, smart mouth, snark gland, and common sense there in the prefrontal cortex. This is said in humor, but really stress is an experience that we all have, and it's not valued. It can be positive or negative. We often think of it as distress or negative, and we know that for adolescents it's associated with a period of significant development across many dimensions, and we could spend a lot of time talking about those. I want to get to our case study, but I do want to acknowledge that at one level, stress is a common experience, but what happens, as we know and why we're here, is that for many populations, it reaches proportions and experiences that are very different for specific subgroups of our population. And one area that I have been interested in across the years, and you'll hear why in a minute in terms of years, has been for adolescents, particularly African American adolescents and those growing up in cities and urban areas. If we look at some of the recent research, we know that in addition to some of the aspects that we might think of typically, racial discrimination is increasingly recognized as a source of stress in the lives of young people across the board, and the recent research by Kogan and colleagues points to racial discrimination exposure and later depressive symptoms in a cohort or longitudinal study of young men. We also see in research by Goodman and colleagues that African American race status, is a risk marker for higher levels of experience of stress, and lower levels of perceived social status along with low socioeconomic status. And I think probably what we might relate to most is described in an analysis by Landis and colleagues that chronic uncontrollable stressors, which may be associated both with the urban environment but also perceived in real racism, can contribute to increased likelihood of problems, particularly psychological issues. And that we see a high degree of avoidant coping among urban African American adolescents, which may actually be protective, and I'll revisit this point later. So much of this research actually took place after we conducted the Shifting the Lens study, but I think that it relates well in large part to our project. We conducted the study back in 2001-2002, and partly because we didn't see a lot of research out there about African American urban adolescents' experience with stress beyond the sort of typical scale questions that are administered and that had been validated in populations different from them. And we really wanted to first explore perceptions of stress, sources of social support, and coping strategies among this population, and do that in a multi-method approach. And then second, we wanted to make sure that this process engaged youth in the research and the translation. And so those were our main two goals of engaging in this work. The methods that we employed was basically a cross-sectional design study in Baltimore City. We involved a total of 26 youth. So while it was not broad, like the YRBSS, it was deep. And we started out by engaging a group of 10 youth on a full-day workshop to really talk about issues around stress so that we could actually use the information that they provided to formulate our instruments for the study so that they were not just building on existing research but actually creation of more appropriate, perhaps, tools. So we started with a sample of 10 students or 10 adolescents who came together, and this was a convenience sample. They were all ninth graders in 14 and 15-year-olds, and they were all former third grade students of mine when I taught elementary school. So they're, you know, all the ideas of research objectivity and that kind of aspect of what you might consider research rigor kind of goes out the window. We knew them fairly well already. But I think that that enhanced our ability to really have conversations and understand at a deeper level what they were saying about their experiences with stress. We had gender-specific focus groups, and we piloted the 24-page questionnaire, which became 16 pages after they gave us their feedback, and they all engaged in the additional activities that you see below. We then used a snowball technique, so we asked each youth to refer somebody else to be in the study, and we then went out to those adolescents' homes and invited them to participate. All 26 youths completed the questionnaire, which had demographic information, had a perceived stress scale on it, had a racial discrimination scale on it as well, and asked about coping strategies. We then asked them to engage in a pile sort activity using the sources of stress that the youth in the first group had identified, 16 sources they said were of importance to them in their lives or that they could see as causing stress to young people. What have I done my, my water. So then we also asked them to record audio journals for 1 month, and every night they responded to a prompt and they recorded their feelings about the question, and every fifth night it was a question about stress because we didn't want to stress them out with additional questions about stress. And then finally, 25 of the 26 youth actually completed personal network maps because we were interested in their social support, who they went to when they wanted to talk or find answers or discuss issues in their lives. And I will say here, because I won't mention it later, but I know that some of you may be thinking, oh, only 26, very small study, absolutely. The other limitations were that we had many more girls than boys who agreed to participate, so 73% of them were girls. And one note is that I won't share much on the racial discrimination aspect because actually racial discrimination was fairly low rated among these youth. And that we hypothesized was due to the homogeneity of their community and the people in their schools. So they actually were not interacting with people of other race or ethnic groups very much. So now I'll share the results. It's going to be kind of a fly through because I want to make sure I talk about the public health response, but I'm happy to talk more about the results later. So the first area was we wanted to know what they thought about stress. So we listened to their audio journals, which was really fun, and I've included three quotes here. One teen said, "I think teenagers have stress, but they really don't know. We have an idea what, quote, stress mean, but we don't really know what we have in our life is stress. But teenagers go through a lot with their friends and classmates." Another teen said, "Stress means to me worrying, keeping secrets, gray hair, problems, anger, being tense. Just thinking about something can make you stressed out." And then another teen says, "I do think stress is a problem for teenagers because when you a teenager, that's the time every move, you know, everything you do. It's like they, parents, don't trust you, or they being too hard on you, or they just want to be in your business. But sometimes teenagers need a lot of space because they have a lot of peer pressure and all that." So I think really good examples of what these young people are going through, but also the recognition that they may not always call it stress. right? But it's an ongoing issue that many of them face. And so I want to share just the bit of quantitative data that I'll share today. And this is a chart that depicts the percentage of the teens who experience each of the types of stress that were in the pile sort activity sometimes or often. That's in the salmon colored bar. And then of those in the green bars, the percent who express that they are worried sometimes or often about these particular stressors. And if you look, we've tried to put them generally in order of significance or highest frequency. Schoolwork, parents, and friends' problems, as well as girl-boy relationships, tend to rate pretty high, as well as neighborhood factors such as drugs. And so you see across the board, personal, social, and neighborhood environment. The next one is nosy neighbors, which was kind of speaks to that last quote we saw, and then additional issues having to do with teachers, siblings, which were not experienced by 60% of the teens, but did cause a great amount of worry among those who experienced, who had younger siblings and who had experienced that stress. And then further down the way, you can see how there are issues around sex or school in general, older siblings and body changes, which were reported less frequently, but certainly in some an interesting dynamic where the proportion who experience stress or worry about the stress sometimes or often is higher in some cases than you would expect. There were gender differences too in the experience of the stress. Girls often reported more problems with their friends and stress related to their friend relationships. Boys reported more problems with authority, teachers, parents, and this pressure to fight even. So in terms of coping, how did they cope? Well, when we asked them what kinds of strategies they used, we saw, again, a gender difference. We saw that boys were more likely to engage in distraction and avoidance than girls were. However, girls were also more likely to engage in distraction and avoidance strategies. Those distraction coping strategies tended to be going and playing sports or listening to music, which may be construed as negative, but not always, certainly. Avoidance is usually thought of as an unhealthy coping mechanism. Only the girls responded that they thought about the stressors in their life in order to cope with them, and only the girls responded that they spoke with friends. None of the boys, and it was a small group of boys, said that they went to friends to talk about their, to cope with their stressors. So the last part is the personal network support map, and this is what one looks like. They were asked to draw themselves at the center and then to draw circles with people's names or relationships around them and to draw lines with the people they felt close to. And in this one, which is slightly changed to protect the young person's name, you can see how this person has included several people that they live with in their family, as well as friends, and then people sort of a little bit further out in terms of their classmates, youth committee, and the guidance counselor. And what we realized from these network maps is that they really have a lot of people in their lives. They, 25 out of the 26 responded with or created their maps, and the average number of relationships was high. 3 was the average number of family people they listed, almost 3, 2.8 was the average of the people and their friends, and then a little bit lower for the circles outward. But still, lots of people that they mentioned within these network maps. So what did we glean? We concluded that there were gender differences in the amount and types of stress that girls and boys experienced, and our recommendation for this was to make sure that programs included gender-specific opportunities for girls and boys to talk about their stressors in a safer space. We also, just as I mentioned, noticed that family members and friends were both the sources of stress and the sources of social support in teens' lives. Isn't that seem, in a way, very much the case for most of us? And so making sure that, in our recommendation, making sure that family members and other adults and friends have the tools and techniques that are needed both to help each other cope and to help each other reduce the amount of stress that is in their lives. And then we also notice, as I mentioned, unhealthy and healthy coping strategies, and a recommendation here too with the gender difference to really encourage more healthy coping strategies. And I said I'd mention the avoidance strategies. There is research that shows potentially that avoidance can be protective because it reduces your exposure to additional stressors. But as Terry mentioned, on a long-term basis, that's not a very healthy approach. And so programming needs to make sure that it introduces healthy ways, particularly for boys, to cope with the stressors that they encounter. So quick bit about translation, because this to me was really the most exciting piece. We produced a manual for adults who are working with teens or living with teens, thanks, and we also produced a video that was co-produced with the youth. So several of the youth who were in the project came back and we employed them as youth producers to learn the skills to produce videos and then to actually create this educational tool. And then we co-authored an article in The Prevention Researcher with one of the teens. She's pictured here, Sheree King, which takes readers through the entire process of the project. So really trying to engage youth not only in educating their peers, but also to be part of the conversation at the more academic level. Here is the manual that we created. It's available online, and it provides a little summary of the study. It also provides actual lesson plans and ways to engage at the one-on-one, the small group, and the large group level so that people who are interacting with young people at at different stages or in different ways can utilize the book. You can see one of the acronyms from the project or from the manual here, ALERT, acknowledging that teen stress is different from adult stress, listening to teens and being aware of how they're responding, the adults are responding, encouraging teens to express how they're feeling, recognizing that teens may have different experiences from each other, and tuning into their own levels of stress as adults. We really emphasize that in the manual because that obviously has an impact both on how they respond to young people, but also how they contribute potentially to stress of young people. The video is available online. It's about 8 minutes long, and this is a screenshot from it. It's great. I wish I could show it to you here, but it was produced by these youth. These are just some photos from the process, and used in Baltimore City High School. And then in terms of public health response, some additional ways, and I won't go into too much detail because I know that you've talked a little bit about this. Certainly the broader issues that contribute to the stressors that we saw in the study, community violence and drug addiction in the communities, many of the youth talked about their community as being unsafe, and then also, of course, opportunities for communities to have access to resources is really important. We thought training of school personnel and ways to address sources of school-related stress, and this really is where school-based health centers comes in and where the manual could be used, and I think where there can be broad-based approaches to addressing the stressors so that they are to some degree prevented. We see more and more anti-bullying campaigns emerging, as well as mindfulness in schools programs. In Asheville right now, we're engaged in a program called Mindful in the Middle, where we are cultivating mindful self-awareness skills, highlighting the mind-body relationship, and most of the feedback we're getting, and we just started, but most of the feedback that we're getting is that it's helping students to process the stressful experience in their lives. And so I think that these provide promising opportunities at a broader level because these programs are for all of the students, not just for specific subgroups. So in conclusion, I wanted to thank my co-PI, who's not here, Anita Chandra, the teens who worked with us, who some of whom have children now, and which is really interesting. Some are older than my kids, which is amazing to me. The Center for Adolescent Health, where we did the research, and the Shapiro Foundation and the Isabel Krieger Fund, who provided funding for the project, and we're at my institution now, UNC Asheville. And I'll leave you with this quote that is from the study. One of the teens said, "It's okay for somebody to get stressed, as long as they get it out, though. That's the only thing. You got to get it out. You can't keep it all in." Thanks.